Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Dan. Hi, Connor.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
What's up, guys?
The U.S. Supreme Court just moments ago has ruled that the federal ban on state-sanctioned sports betting is unconstitutional.
Joe Ostrowski.
By the time football season rolls around, 15, 20 states could have sports betting legalized by that time. And Illinois is in the conversation, too. There are multiple sports betting bills for the state of Illinois. But down the road, it might be over in Europe, like it is over there, where you can bet on a game at Wrigley Field where they have kiosks set up.
Intelligent, in-depth sports talk for your workday.
What they are is they're out there, they're talking, they're yapping, and they're trying their best.
Bernstein and McKnight, middays on The Score.
Let's do this. Bernstein and McKnight, 9-1. We are The Score's midday show, broadcasting from the Hyundai Studios, presented by the Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers, home of America's best warranty. Jeff Sullivan of Fangraphs will tell us what's wrong with Jose Quintana at 10 o'clock
and
more. And then Daniel Wallach at 10:40, gaming and sports attorney, the host of the Conduct Detrimental podcast. We'll have information on this the story that is just it's so enormous. I can't even really get my head around what is happening to the sports world now in the wake of yesterday's Supreme Court ruling, because everything's on the table.
It's a complete landscape shift. There's nothing is you think that things are going to follow some sort of predetermined path, or that finally you're going to be able to just bet on everything. But I don't necessarily know that there won't be hands out and mouths to feed all along the way to that utopic everyone bets on everything land.
We will do the midway at 11, and then Joe Madden, the Cubs manager, joins us at noon. Also, two more chances to win $1,000 via text. You have to be listening if you want to win. The segment brought to you by Credit Karma. Get your truly free credit score and free credit monitoring from Credit Karma. Download the Credit Karma app today. Credit Karma, get knowing. 312-644-6767. That's the phone number at WSCR The Score. You email us at BernsteinandMcKnight at 670thescore.com. That's where you listen to us live. We're streaming at 670thescore.com. Texting at 67011. You text, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter is at Bernstein_MCK. He's at C1McKnight. I am at Dan_Bernstein. There is a Facebook opportunity, too, to interact with the show by liking the 670 The Score page. You can watch your video feed. Hello.
Hello. Hi. Creepy people watching us.
Hello.
That is at Facebook Live and watch670thescore.com. Our executive producer is Jay Zawoski.
You're declaring this a sweep
this
after one game?
This is over, Ernie.
There's no way you're going to beat the Mighty Golden State Warriors. One or two guys taking on the show.
No, you can't earn it. Listen, you just see this game. The Rockets can't beat them. Like I said, I picked the Warriors in five.
Can they win a game?
No. They're not going to win a game.
What if they just have the others hitting a couple shots, Harden, Paul goes off?
Hey, I picked the Warriors in five. I want to say I'm taking the Warriors in three.
Love how he's talking about the others. Shaq, the others. Just anybody else wearing a Rockets uniform. Doesn't matter who. If it's not Harden, if it's not Paul, they're just the others. It's amazing to me how quickly everyone, Rick was talking about this in the pre-show meeting. Everyone's looking at the Rockets going, well, this can't work. This doesn't work.
Despite everyone having looked at the Rockets and saying,
how do you beat it?
Right, this can't be stopped until it's stopped.
It's one game. Yeah. I'm not ruling them out, but I can't imagine saying, well, it can't work. It's impossible.
The man on the board is Rick Camp.
What did you think of the quality of your offensive possessions?
Just watching our guys and how talented they are and how talented Houston is, there's no way I could have played in the NBA today. So I came around at the right time 20 years ago.
He's right.
I caught that last night.
I mean, there's some bad players in the NBA, but his point is well taken.
No, you can't play at that elite level.
These are different animals.
It takes
now.
Something else. It takes something completely different.
I mean, the stuff that Durant is doing, they're technically contested shots.
He's getting defended fairly well last night.
But they're not really contested when you look at from where he's able to release the shot.
7 foot
one. There's a guy right in front of him with a hand sort of near his face of where he's supposed to be, and it's still a clean look from that release point.
Doesn't matter.
It's amazing.
Hunt for 800, please.
In the back doing what he does is the Mexicutioner Ray Diaz.
Hunt for 800, please.
A blow to the back of the neck is the punch named for this animal. Mike.
What is a donkey?
No. Betsy.
What is a rabbit punch?
Rabbit, yes.
Oh, no. No! No!
It's one of those where you let it go and you want it back immediately. Oh, a donkey. No!
Oh,
no,
I didn't say that. I didn't say that.
What is a donkey?
No!
No.
Trebek is no, it's not that.
And please see me after the conclusion of the taping.
It's absolutely not that.
I don't think he's wrong. Well, play it again, Rick. I think you got it right.
Punch for 800, please.
A blow to the back of the neck is the punch named for this animal. Mike.
What is a donkey?
No. Betsy.
What is a rabbit punch?
Rabbit, yes.
Right, rabbit punch.
Trebek's laughing at the end, too. I just rabbit, caught that. Yes. You can hear him.
They left some detail out, but he is technically correct.
No, it's a... No.
No.
No, he's not.
Well, I mean, you... There's no way to talk about this. You could theoretically apply that punch.
Let's just not.
Yeah, you're probably right.
My advice
yeah, you're probably
here
right.
is, as your attorney, I advise you to probably just no.
Maybe what is a
just,
donkey?
No.
Just reel that one back in?
Yeah, nope. So late yesterday, you retweeted the tweet from The Hill.
Yes.
About the first federal... official weigh-in regarding our new gambling landscape here.
Yes, Orrin Hatch has spoken, and he's worried about the children, Dan. He's worried about the children.
But he's not, because he's worried about money. And if you remember, Orrin Hatch was one of the actual authors of the original PASPA.
A progenitor of PASPA.
Legislation in 1992. And... under the guise of protection and protecting everyone, Orrin Hatch is proposing fundamental standards. And The Hill actually had the wrong headline. They said Hatch proposes anti-gambling bill.
Mm-hmm.
And when I read the body copy of the story, it's not an anti-gambling bill.
Not even
bill.
A little.
He's just – what he says is – and it's all couched in this very high-minded language. At stake here is the very integrity of sports, and that's why I plan to introduce legislation in the coming weeks to help protect honesty and principle in the athletic arena.
No.
Okay, right. The rapid rise of the internet means that sports betting across state lines is now just a click away and has been. We cannot allow this practice to proliferate amid uneven enforcement and a patchwork race to the regulatory bottom. He didn't detail how the legislation would try to regulate sports gambling, but he said it would establish fundamental standards, including trying to protect consumers in states that decide not to legalize sports betting. And he said, I invite stakeholders and my colleagues on both sides of the aisle to join me in addressing this important issue. He said, Congress can regulate sports gambling directly, but if it elects not to do so, each state is free to act on its own. This is according to what Samuel Alito said. Our job is to interpret the law Congress has enacted and decide whether it's consistent with the Constitution. PASPA is not. And so this is just a first foray at the federal level. And it sounds to me like his idea is standardize the way this is done. But the whole point is you can't tell states what to do.
The idea is, it seems to me, a lot of people woke up to a brand new world yesterday, right? Whether you'd been betting before or really had never bet unless you were in Vegas or never been interested in the idea at all, you woke up to a brand new world yesterday. And whether you want to be in this place where we're talking about betting and sports, whether you want to be inundated with that kind of information as you consume your Bears, your Cubs, your White Sox, your Bulls, whatever it is, or whether you don't, this is going to be there. It's immovable now. It's part and parcel of our landscape of sports. And as legislatures wake up to this, they realize that there's a chance to make a lot of money here. And that's okay. It should be. But I'm not altogether convinced that this brand new industry that's all of a sudden got the blanket taken off the top and now is exposed to the daylight, I'm not altogether convinced that it's going to be this smooth sailing to a world where you can place bets with your remote control, you know, through whatever app that you've got installed on your smart television or with your with your smartphone, your iPad, whatever it is, I'm not all that convinced of that. Because if we've learned anything over the last decade or so, it's that state legislatures have trouble bringing everything together and creating infrastructure to get the money to the right people, to get money anywhere. And you've got a bunch of existing entities that already have the beginnings of betting infrastructure, whether it's FanDuel, whether it's Caesars, whether it's Harrah's, all these different little things. Everybody's going to want to be first in the marketplace.
You know what else I don't really know? How many people are qualified to set lines? I know that the people who do, like the head of that for Caesars or the head of that for these major bookmakers, it takes years of all kinds of unique experience or some say that you either have it or you don't. That there are just some people who are born with this ability to intuit some of this stuff. I have no idea. I mean, you're talking about highly paid positions, a handful of incredibly powerful positions. Or do committees do it? Do algorithms do it? Do you create an artificial intelligence to do it? You know, it's not like anybody can just open up for business and make money. You've got to be good at it. I mean, not all sports books are equal. Bookies go out of business.
Most bookmakers have decades and decades of experience before they're even put in that position. And some have one main guy. Some have teams that get together before they make lines. Some have certain people that are in charge of different sports. Okay, you're running the baseball. You're running the college basketball. I would expect the different states to team make some sort of an agreement to team up with some of the bookmakers out there.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
One of the side stories to the Supreme Court ruling invalidating PASPA or repealing it was some concern about what we do. Some concern about sports talk in general, wherever people are consuming sports talk. Say, well, now it's just going to be gambling talk all the time. And I can tell you, and you're hearing this directly from me, that I'm really not qualified to do it and don't plan to. That there will be times where you're going to have people who know how to talk about it.
Oh, absolutely.
Talking about it. And for a segment here, a segment there, just like we've done for fantasy football, that we're in a meet the market kind of business here. And if the score listener shows that there is a market for it, that there is a place for that kind of discussion here and there, there's already podcasts that are there for that too. But I think that maybe there's some time to have people on who know about these things. But my belief is that information, predictive information, data, and interpretation of data, trends, is all good. If it's intelligently done, I don't see some of this. Just like when it comes to fantasy football, I remember having the conversations with McNeil about it. He said, do you listen to charts and all that?
Yeah.
And I said, yes. I don't have to play fantasy football to get something of value out of the way Paul Charchian talks about certain trends. If he says this defense hasn't allowed a 300-yard passer in this many games, or this particular wide receiver is my number three, and here's why, it's the data's all good. Whatever the goals are of trying to learn tendencies, if I'm going to learn more about why something is expected to happen in sports, and then if something does or does not happen after the fact, why and what that meant, I don't need to have – I don't like risking money on it. I don't need to. I don't get any rush out of it. I don't get any joy out of winning money. I hate losing money. I don't like gambling. But if it means smart people are discussing why things could happen, should happen, will or won't happen, that's just good sports talk. It doesn't have to be all the time, what's the line? Are you getting this bet down? What did this change? It can inform everything else. But I would just say, don't worry. I know there are a lot of people very concerned. Like, well, that's it. Sports talk is ruined. All gambling all the time. Certainly not here.
No, and I've always figured that fantasy football specifically and fantasy sports in general, it's all about matchups and stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's about finding what guy torches what cornerback or what nickel is not healthy enough to play and where you've got essentially market inefficiencies, right? Or pitchers who don't face this type of lineup well, or a guy who's seen it's that type of stuff that is, it feels predictive, don't know whether it actually is or isn't, but it feels predictive, and that informs our conversation, whether that's actually related to the betting line or not. And I agree with you. I think that's that kind of thing pushes the ball forward. That said, yeah, there are going to be changes to the way people. I mean, myself, you know, Joe put that the poll out there on Twitter yesterday. Mm-hmm. Are you going to bet now that it's going to become more convenient for you? Yeah, sure.
You are. I'm not,
and I'm part of the marketplace, and I'm actually kind of looking forward to being part of the marketplace that puts down the between the $5 and $20 bet that absolutely gets hosed by the algorithmic, you know, bots that come in to roll over everybody one way or another. And if I hit one a week or something, that's the one I'm going to talk about for a little while. You know what I mean? Like those are the feathers I get to spread around some and then walk away. I mean, it's all part of, and it's all been part of the conversation that we've talked
right,
about.
Right.
It's all been part of it. We've been doing this. We talked about the article Bob Nightingale wrote from Joe West and Scooter Jeanette's perspective during transition. He's got this piece out with, you know, the head of Major League Baseball's umpiring, officiating crew and whatnot, and Joe West is worried about guys coming down from stands and breaking kneecaps. And literally, I'm not those are the quotes from Joe West. These people exist already. They're just now going to be allowed to do it in a capacity that's not illegal. That this is already a part of sports. It's there. We've been talking about it for years.
And now it'll be the disinfecting sunlight can bring everything out and people don't have to pretend. It's the other consequence is states may now have incentive to crack down on the corner bookie. If you think about this, now it's a competitor.
Mm-hmm.
Now if the government is in the business, now previously nobody cared. The government couldn't make any money off of it, and they weren't incentivized to go down to the bar on the corner and see if there were parlay cards there. Now there is incentive because now you're talking about market share.
Yep. I was thinking about this too, and I don't want to ask Joe this question on air because I don't want him to have to answer it at all on a record at all. But when you fill out your taxes at the end of the year, you've got to click that little button and declare your gambling wins.
Or subtract your losses.
Or subtract your losses.
And the horse players have had a shoebox of tickets.
I mean,
that they hang on to and say, look, here's my receipts.
Do you?
I'm net negative.
You? If you've been offshore for these years, if you've had a guy for these, you're not declaring that stuff on your taxes. But if the states are now making that legal, if they're not providing you a way to do it, they have records of what you've won or what you've lost. I mean, that we've talked about, oh, the 1% integrity fee, or the states themselves are going to take money off the top of the bets made. They're also going to take the taxes from the money won. I mean, that's also money that they're going to take
it's
in.
It's income, yep. Michigan City, this is Mark on the Score.
Hey, Dan. Hey, Connor. Always honor and pleasure to chime in with you. Very good discussion, Dan. I think you hit a very good point about who's going to be setting all the odds and the big play in it. I think some of the people are going to get in this business who really don't have that much knowledge or information of sports and be some big money people, people like who are involved in the subprime loan debacle. And it's just a big new venture now, this ruling and that. And there's an old saying that goes, anyone who lives in gambles is someday going to be living in shambles. I think this whole country and this whole sports might happen that way.
I don't think it's the downfall of society.
No, I kind of doubt it. And I agree with you, Dan, that you are going to have odds makers, you know, come into this business and maybe struggle, but that's not a business you can they'll let you struggle in very long.
Yeah, I compared it to the gold rush. This is a gold rush.
Mm-hmm.
This is that time where everybody is going to be swarming in and there's going to be some explosive failures involved. There are going to be people who just get it all wrong. And but those who have been preparing for this are going to get it right.
I'm not altogether convinced that individual states, with the exception of a few, that individual states or really even individual leagues are as prepared for this as they could have been. I mean, you for years have had, think about Musburger, right?
Mm-hmm.
That dude's on the call of an Ohio State and Northwestern game where a late touchdown by Ohio State pushes the spread, beats the spread, right? Northwestern was going to cover.
He says something
like, touchdown.
Our friends in the desert pay attention to that one, right?
One of the most elite voices in college football where the athletes aren't paid, right? Where there is no, we can't look out for that. One of the most elite voices in that game knew the betting lines, is now a founder of this, of the VSiN network that the Score has partnered with, is this has always been part of sports. We just have had to, some people have had to couch the conversation about it or code it some. Now you're going to get to a point where so many people want in on this conversation or in on the money itself that you should have seen this coming, like he did, like some other places did. But leagues have been so afraid to touch this. They've been so afraid to talk about it. I mean, you couldn't discuss point spreads on given networks. You couldn't talk about what things, what the lines were, who was favored one way or another.
Do you remember how scandalous it was that Michael Jordan was on the golf course with Slim Buhler? Remember what that was, being seen with someone who is a noted underworld
nefarious
gambler, twisting his mustache. You know? Well,
you need to, you got to have a good mustache twist. I mean,
come on, you know, this is really, it was like these, oh, this, he's a known gambler. Okay,
if there are, because right now there's a situation, Joe talked about it yesterday, where you put 110 down to win 100, right? There is a certain amount that you're willing to risk, the vig that you're willing to put down there and lose. Too many play, at least it seems to me, and I'm willing to be dissuaded, but it seems to me that there are too many entities that want to put that extra dollar on your 110 for this to go real smoothly off the bat.
Then the market will decide. Eventually, competition, whether it's across state lines, and we talked to Mike Zalewski yesterday, that it could be that if there's a grab by Illinois, it's like, oh, tax it like 12%, and Indiana's like, yeah, let's undercut them, then you're going to just have people cross the border like they do to buy cigarettes.
Yeah, you could be true. You'd be right.
And eventually the consumer is going to decide what the best value is.
But there are still limited numbers of dollars out there, right? I mean, if Caesars or Vegas or Nevada or, you know, whatever entity that's been grandfathered into this, the just $10 to make your 100, then that is going to remain the standard, right? I mean, if they don't have to move and everybody else has to get in and grab that dollar here or there, they've won again. You know what I'm saying? Like they don't have to change what they're taxing you to begin with. Not that it's an actual tax, but they're having you put the extra $10 down.
There's also more ancillary effect of this particular ruling that is, I think, going to benefit people, because it's bigger than just sports gambling. There are other things in effect here that people who watch the Supreme Court say, well, wait a second, this ruling is going to solidify some things and maybe threaten some other things. And it always feels good if your people are have control of the levers of power of the federal government. Certain things feel good. But then you always have to wonder, well, what if the time comes when the pendulum swings back and this doesn't look so good? And everybody's trying to be mindful of what in general is better for us as free citizens. And it's not just about sports gambling. There are a couple things there. So we'll talk about that and more as we head up to some baseball talk at the top of the hour with Jeff Sullivan, Bernstein and McKnight on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This segment's brought to you by Burlington. Refresh your spring closet for less at your Burlington store. What's hot? Stripes, dots, and gingham, plus cool hardware like pearls, sequins, grommets, and much more. Nothing like a hot grommet. Burlington, style for everyone. So if you know what the 10th Amendment is, and that is that unless something has been specifically banned by federal law, states are allowed to pretty much do what they want. The law falls to the states, right?
Yeah.
So when you start looking at what's been the push and pull between state law regarding marijuana and federal law, and no matter what Jeff Sessions has wanted to say, that we're going to federally crack down on the evil weed.
Go, wanted to say a lot, hasn't he?
Yeah, he wants to take away everybody's evil weed. This ruling,
vile weed.
This ruling has strengthened states' rights generally. So there are a lot of people watching this closely, saying, "Yeah, we're looking at PASPA and looking at what it's doing for sports betting." But now there are some who say, "Well, you know, forget cracking down on taking away federal money for these so-called sanctuary cities, that all of these ways that punishments were going to be inflicted for being in the weed business or helping out potentially undocumented immigrants via sanctuary city laws, saying now this is a pretty established, firm precedent where the Supreme Court has once again reinforced these 10th Amendment states' rights.
Yeah, it's been kind of funny to watch, you know, whether it's Orrin Hatch, Republican or Democrat, really, it's going to be funny to watch legislatures who have championed states' rights getting the ruling that reinforces or even uplifts states' rights and now wanting to go and seek federal regulation for a gambling market that will help get them money.
Mm-hmm.
There's hypocrisy in that, but I can't necessarily say it's all bad. For instance, the way the profits, state profits from a marijuana industry have benefited the state of Colorado, just for one example, has really been good overall for them. Granted, you gotta find legislatures who are going to get the money to the right people in the right places instead of just lining pockets like happens here a lot. But the potential here is an interesting one. That said, you know, I still, and I'm more than willing, and we'll talk with Daniel Wallach about this at 10:40. Lawmakers and those who are more part of this industry already, these are the people that I kind of need to hear from to find out exactly how those hands are taken out of the transaction.
I'm waiting to see what's next too. If you're a long range speculative investor, are you investing in the prostitution business in some states? If we're looking at this, if what crimes are considered more victimless than others,
sure.
and what would be a vice that is losing its stigma over time, if now you can pick your exact strain of sativa or indica and have it in your little electronically powered pipe and go sit and place a bet on your local sporting event.
Uh-huh.
What's the next thing? You know, right now, and I don't know which state law or because Nevada, there's already some legality there. And again, it's safer. It's regulated. There's testing involved to make sure that the health department is.
Mm-hmm.
So you could say this when you have other issues of sex trafficking because it's illegal.
Yeah.
There's all of these arguments that just stop making it illegal. Are there other states that say, look, this state, because of this, is going to invoke its 10th Amendment opportunity to say, we're going to get into this state-run prostitution business?
Yeah, I mean, just because you're shining a light on an industry doesn't mean necessarily that all the seedy parts are going to go away, right? I mean, whether it's the marijuana industry in a couple of states that have legalized it for recreational use, or whether it's going to be some of the gambling that gets legalized over the course of the next few years, just because you've made it legal and safe for – nominally safe for people to do it doesn't mean that there won't be other places that operate outside the law. I think it's better. I think obviously shining the light on it is better and probably and definitely the right thing to do. But there are going to have to be a couple of investigations into this. Well, investigations, maybe not the right way, but research into this about exactly what's going to matter.
Real quick, Ron, North Riverside, you're on the score. Hey, Ron.
Hi, Dan. Hi, Connor. Good morning.
Morning.
Listen, I had an interesting question. I know the IRS will only allow you to deduct your losses up to the winnings. But since gambling now is legalized, what would prevent somebody from having their own business and opening up another business, i.e., our gambling LLC, gambling and taking those losses and deducting against regular income?
That's a great question. This is all part of it, right? This is part of state and federal tax law.
Think about the ramifications of that.
You know, I'm not an accountant, I don't think I'm really qualified because, I have people smarter than I am do that for me to navigate through all this stuff. I don't know. I don't know what the loopholes are going to be to allow somebody to use gambling losses to offset other income.
I would guess new laws. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's... We talked about this to start the show. It is a brand new landscape. And whatever you may think is going to happen to set these marketplaces and to set these laws that create a legal state betting policy, they get to change whatever they want now, right? I mean, that's what this repeal of PASPA has done, is allow states to, on their own, set the rules for this new industry. So I would guess that along with, hey, here's your legal betting, by the way, 75 new tax laws that come along with it.
And it's, that again is going to, there could be people who say, I don't want to gamble in state A.
No
because
doubt.
Because just same reason why you have athletes saying, I want to live in Florida because there's no state income tax.
Derek Jeter living primarily in Florida while he's a New York Yankee.
Right. You could have people doing that and making their legal gambling decisions based on what's a more onerous tax law. God, there's so much going on here.
There is. There's a lot of moving parts.
Well, the good news is we're going to talk to Daniel Wallach about it at 10:40, who can help us out with some of this stuff and on all this, these complicated things. Baseball talk is straight ahead. Find out what the Cubs can do about a couple of struggling starting pitchers, what the White Sox can do about when to promote some of their kids that seem to be coming fast. Jeff Sullivan from Fangraphs will talk about all of that next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.